detail. An Accra High Court has placed an interlocutory injunction on the CPP Delegates Congress slated for tomorrow. The plaintiff, Onze Nkrumah, sued the party for not giving him the opportunity to join the CPP flag bearership race. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, Mr. Nkrumah said the party's reason for rejecting his forms were trivial. He said the general secretary has been served with the injunction.
The injunction has been filed and issued and served on the general secretary of the party today. The reason being that I wasn't given a chance to join the race, and I tried in every possible amicable and peaceable way, and it didn't work.
Let's get clarification. I have here a writ issued from 28th January 2016,
right.
And then the suit number is here, the High Court of Justice, between Onze Nkrumah and then the Convention People's Party.
Yes.
This document, does it mean that you have succeeded in getting the injunction?
Yes, yes. The injunction actually was issued. It was not just being sought. I heard you say it's being sought. No, it was sought and it was granted, meaning that they have cancelled the event on Saturday, meaning if they go ahead with it, it will be illegal.
You are a member of the Convention Party.
I am.
For how long?
For 6 years now.
You have not been heard like other people, especially in the media. Why?
Well, I didn't seek really much attention in the media. I try to keep to myself unless there's a purpose. So I'm talking for a reason now.
You love the Convention People's Party.
Of course.
This is the time that we go in for an election in just about 10 months.
Yes.
You are already late because the major parties, the NDC and the NPP, are done.
Yes.
They are primaries, both parliamentary and convention.
Indeed.
You are fighting for probably the third force in the country.
Yes.
Already you are in Curtis. Then you are going to court, trying to worsen the plight of the party, which you love so much?
Well, I'm trying to improve the chances. I'm trying to revive the fortunes of the CPP. And the CPP, as you said rightly, is in tatters. The CPP is seriously divided. The CPP today has only 30 offices out of 275. It needs serious rebuilding, okay? So who actually did cause that? You know, it was certainly not my latest action. My action is I'm trying to seek to change, to reverse, you see, not to allow the division and the decline to continue.
Said a member of the CPP, Onze Nkrumah.
The fire which gutted the Central Met Gold Stores in Tema has been classified as arson. This contains an investigative report which is expected to be released by government today. The Attorney General and Minister of Justice, Marietta Bru-Apiopong, will issue the government statement following approval by President John Dramani Mahama. This is contained in a statement from the Communications Bureau of the Flagstaff House. The Ghana National Fire Service and NADMA, which conducted investigations into the incident, presented their findings to government last year for further studies. The Minister of Health, Alex Segafia, at a news conference indicated that should the cause of the fire be found to be arson, anyone found culpable would be severely dealt with. On January 13 last year, fire destroyed the Central Medical Stores, resulting in the loss of essential medicines and equipment worth millions of cedis, a development that massively challenged healthcare delivery in the country. Medical supplies, non-drug medical consumables, medical equipment and food items estimated at more than 261 million cedis were lost in the fire.
Meanwhile, the Ghana Fire Service has recorded 90 fire outbreaks in Accra this month. This, according to the Greater Accra Regional Commander, ACFO Ebenezer Simpson, is dangerous, especially happening at the beginning of the year. To prevent this menace, the service yesterday held a float to educate the public on the dangers of fire. Mr. Simpson said through increased awareness, fire outbreaks could be minimized. Elena Obengapia has more.
The fire awareness float began at 10 o'clock a.m. from the national headquarters with a walk Zoo Circle to Makola and Miss Brass Band Music, personnel distributed flyers with safety tips to the public. The Greater Accra Regional Chief Fire Officer, Ebenezer Simpson, speaking on the scene, ensuring fire safety to develop the nation, urged the public to change their attitudes towards fire. According to him, fire outbreaks can be reduced when the citizenry are well educated on fire safety tips.
There has been a high rate of preventable fire outbreaks since the beginning of the year. I'm saying that they are preventable fire outbreaks because the citizenry are ignorant about fire safety, for that matter, fire preventive methods. That is the more reason why we have organized this to sensitize the citizenry as how to go about their normal daily activities in order not to bring about fire. So we distributed flyers and cars tickets with fire safety tips. I mean, fire safety instructions. Educate the public as to what they are to do and what they are not supposed to do to avoid the incidents of fire outbreaks that we experience. We are in the Harmattan season, the weather dry, and the least fire spreads to a wide area. So we are educating the people to stop this menace. So far, Greater region, we have experienced 90 fire outbreaks. But some number of these fires, 32 of these 90 were bushfires as a result of the Harmattan that has spoken to you. 33 were domestic. We could have prevented this domestic fire outbreak if people have taken the education that we have been giving them over the years.
There will be other floats in Tema, Kumasi, and other regions.
Elinor Benga Pierre found that report.
Government is to seek technical support from the International Monetary Fund, IMF, to fine-tune Ghana's taxation system. The support will comprise capacity-building programs to enhance the competencies of the human resource of tax and allied revenue generation institutions across the country. A Deputy Minister of Finance, Mrs. Bunakoti, made this known at the opening of the Maiden Delegates Conference of the Ghana Revenue Authority Division of the Public Service Workers Union in Kumasi. Mrs. Kwate explained that domestic revenue utilization, particularly through effective tax collection, remains critical to funding infrastructural and developmental projects in the areas of education, health, security, and the economy. This, she noted, could only be realized with a tax regime which is all-inclusive, promotes social justice, and enhances good governance. She urged organized labor to join in the fight against tax evasion to ensure that the country generates the expected revenue from the over 6 million taxable population. A deputy finance minister assured the participants that government will ensure that policies and programs under the IMF technical support will not overburden Ghanaians. The Commissioner General of the GRA, George Blankson, emphasized that the required input of labor towards effective revenue mobilization is directly associated with adequate training and work incentives, considering the Herculean tax along the revenue mobilization chain, even with aided technological advancement. General Secretary of the Public Service Workers Union, Richard Ampabing, called for the enforcement of tax laws to ensure that income-generating entities fulfill their tax obligations.
The chairman of the Committee on Government Assurance, an MP for Ho West, Emmanuel Bejira, says it is worrying when funds are invested in various sectors and they yield no results. He said there must always be value for the funds, irrespective of where it is coming from. Mr. Bejira made the comments at a meeting of the Ghana Partnership for Education Grant, GPEG, in Accra. He called for systems to be strengthened in the educational sector to ensure that monies invested are used judiciously. Rosalind Ganyago and Sharon Asma have filed this report.
The Ghana Partnership for Education Grants, GPED, provides funds to enhance education development in the country. Through it, activities such as an enrollment drive and scholarship packages for needy pupils, especially girls with no access to formal education, were implemented. It was introduced to supplement the capitation grant. However, a survey conducted in 15 districts showed that only 2 are doing well under the GPEG and it recorded low enrollment of girls at the junior high school level. The chairman of the Committee on Government Assurance, Emmanuel Bedra, called for further research into the cause of the problem as the project folds up.
If $75 million has been released to 75 districts, that means that 1 million per district, and out of that 15 districts, I believe 2 districts doing very well, and there's no value for the money. This is something fundamentally wrong. We need to go further. One of the findings has to do with the responsibility of parents. How can we dialogue with parents to get parents be responsible for their kids? These are some of the issues that we need to interrogate further.
The Director of Policy Advocacy Programs at SEND Ghana, Clarosse Boateng, said though gains such as increased supervision at all levels and timely disbursement of funds were achieved, an intervention is needed to sustain the gains.
There are other areas that were not that encouraging in terms of participation of SMC members, that the school management committee, in the preparation of the plan. In some districts, we realized that instead of their meeting as a team to prepare the plan, the headmasters were doing it themselves and getting them to sign. And then when the money comes, they are not even informed of how much came in and how the money was spent. We've been complaining about financial resources. Now the money is coming. How about the outcome? Are we getting value for money?
The GES planning officer, Robert Ntefo, called on all stakeholders to partner the Ghana Education Service in the campaign to sustain the project. The meeting sought to address emerging issues resulting from SEND Ghana's monitoring of the GPEG, after which a consensus will be built on key action points to be presented to government for implementation.
Rosalyn Ganyaglu and Sharon Asma filed that report.
17 customers who participated in the GN Bank People's Gifts promo have been rewarded in Accra. The gesture forms part of the first mini draw in the southeastern zone, comprising Greater Accra, Volta, and Eastern regions. The chief executive officer of the bank, Patrick Animo, encouraged customers and prospective customers to deposit more to win prizes. Benjamin Idu has filed this report.
The GN Bank's People's Gift promo was launched on 18th of November last year and will end in May this year. The promo seeks to mobilize deposit and also to reward loyal customers with exciting and valuable prizes. It also forms part of the bank's customer deposit promotion drive. The zonal draw is to ensure that customers across the country have a fair and equitable chance of winning the several exciting prizes. Customers are to deposit at least 200 Ghana cedis or multiples of that to participate. Kofito Lucas, a customer of the whole branch, won the first prize and went home with a motorbike. Second prize went to Azikole of the Madina branch, taking home a generator set, and Zaglo Francis, also of the Madina branch, going home with a fridge. Others won LED TV sets and mobile phones. The general manager in charge of operations, Alan Kwee, said the draw is to ensure transparency and fairness. He threw more light on the promo.
The People's Gift promotion is a customer deposit promotion. Started on 18th November 2015 and would end on 18th May 2016. The objectives are to mobilize deposits from customers, to reward customers with exciting and relevant prizes, among others, via 8 mini draws and 1 final draw. Today marks the start of our first 4 mini draws of the People's Gifts promotion to be executed across the length and breadth of Ghana. Today's draw is for customers within the Greater Accra region, Volta region, and some parts of the Eastern region who have valid promotion coupons. I want to thank all our customers for participating in the People's Gift promotion. I encourage them to deposit and deposit more to enhance their chances of winning prizes. I also invite all who are not participating in the promotion to start now. With only 200 CDs, you can win a car, a trip to South Africa, or 15,000 CDs, a motorcycle, a generator, a fridge, a television, and phone.
The chief executive officer of the bank, Patrick Animel, said the bank will extend its operations to the length and breadth of the country to promote the image of the bank.
We have changed the strategy. That's why we are saying that as for us, we are for the common man. So where the traditional bankers will not go, we are going. And that's how we are getting the business going. For example, if you go to Wellington, we are there. And there's no other bank. If you go to Jirapa, we are there. If you go to Asebi, we are there. And a lot of places where you not find the traditional banker. That is the way we are trying to use to beat the competition. And so far, it has been good. Because apart from what we used to do already, now we can do trade finance and we can do forex trading. We are, you know, increasing on our operations. We are doing what we used to do, plus more. And that is very, you know, satisfying for us.
The final draw will take place in May, and the winner will take home a brand new Ford Focus saloon car. Second will be a trip to South Africa for two with $2,000 spending money, whilst the third will take home 15,000 Ghana cedis.
The report was filed by Benjamin Eaton.
Ghana's quest to generate 10% of its energy source from renewable energy and create a base to increase generation capacity could be on course after a private company, Solar Farm, located in the central region, commences the injection of about 20 megawatts into the national grid. This came to light after Deputy Minister for Power, John Jinapor, paid a working visit to the solar plant in Gumwa, Unyadze, in the central region to acquaint himself with the operations of the company. The $30 million plant was constructed to provide power to help solve the generation deficit in the country. The project, which began in 2012 by DXC Ghana Limited, is a subsidiary of DXC Beijing China under a power purchase agreement, PPA, with the Electricity Company of Ghana. It is on a test transmission to be inaugurated next month. The Deputy Minister commended the company for a successful completion of the project and assured of government's continued support and encouragement in the renewable energy sector to augment power supply from hydro and thermal. He also noted that Ghana has an advantage in the renewable energy sector because the country's solar radiation is fairly well distributed. Mr. Jinapor urged management of the company to consider making use of the remainder of the 400-acre land acquired to construct additional solar plants or invest in a wind farm, stating the ministry's readiness to assist the company in that regard. The deputy minister further stated that the government, through the Ministry of Power, is in the process of developing another 20 megawatts of solar power through competitive tender. The managing director of the company, Kevin Wu, was grateful to the ministry for the support and asked for continuous support to BXC and other investors in the renewable energy sector to help address challenges in the sector. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Accra High Court places interim injunction on CPP National Delegates Congress slated for tomorrow. Government seeks IMF support to fine-tune taxation system. Four suspected armed robbers involved in death of policeman arrested by Ashanti Regional Command. And group of Brazilian lawyers appeals to Supreme Court to allow abortions for women with Zika virus infection. Do stay tuned.
Welcome back. Four suspected armed robbers have been arrested by the Ashanti Regional Police Command in connection with the death of a policeman, General Corporal Alexander Treme, during a highway robbery on the 22nd of this month between Ijuan Kwanta and Hiawaru villages on the Mampon-Ijua Highway. The Agariba Salifu alias Kudi, 19 years old, Suleimana Ibrahim, 33, Mumuni Yusuf alias Romeo, 22, and Emmanuel Yeboah alias Tupac, 20. Briefing the media, the Regional Police Commander, DCOP Kofi Boateng, said the suspects, armed with SB shotguns and clubs, blocked the Mampon-Ijua Highway at about 1:45 p.m. and accosted two minibuses in turns, robbing the passengers of their money and personal effects. According to DCOP Boateng, the deceased policeman, General Corporal Alexander Treme, who was stationed at Spindler in the northern region, was on board one of the minibuses from Yeji heading to Kumasi when he was shot dead by the armed robbers. When the police arrived at the scene, the armed robbers had escaped into a nearby bush together with their booty, including an unspecified amount of money, mobile phones, and personal effects. DCOP Boateng said the four suspects were later arrested, and during a parade, Gariba Salifu was identified by one of the victims on board one of the vehicles during the robbery.
A 39-year-old trader, Zulai Al-Hassan, and her unemployed brother, Bilal Al-Hassan, are in the grips of the Ashaiman District Police Command for allegedly masterminding a mob attack on a 34-year-old Mason, Solomon Paddy. Solomon is alleged to have stolen 1,860 Ghana cedis, a laptop, and some personal belongings from Zulai's room. When the police arrived at the Shaiman night market at about 8:30 p.m. last Friday, Paddy had been severely beaten with vehicle tires around his neck and about to be set ablaze. Police sources told Radio Ghana in Tema that the personnel had a hard time rescuing the victim, who was almost unconscious. He is currently receiving treatment at the Shaiman Polyclinic, while the two suspects are being detained by the police to assist in investigations. Paddy has been described as a habitual thief in the area. Therefore, when Zulai discovered the loss of her money and other items, she suspected him and allegedly organized thugs who arrested him at Old Tulaku and brought him to the Shaiman night market to administer what police described as instant justice. The Shaiman District Police Commander, Deputy Superintendent of Police Seth T, declined further comment on the matter except to condemn the act and caution that the police will not tolerate such acts of lawlessness, and therefore advised persons who may be planning to take the law into their hands to desist from it, else the police will deal ruthlessly with them.
23 children at 8 orphanages in the country are reported missing because they cannot be accounted for by the managers of the homes. Director General's audit for 2011-2012 revealed many lapses in the operations of children's residential homes across the country. Lack of data on the activities of the orphanages and operation without license are some of the infractions of the homes. These came up on the floor of Parliament when the chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, Kweku Ajimaminu, presented a report of the Committee on the Performance Audit Report of the Editor General on the Regulation of Residential Homes for Children by the Department of Social Welfare. According to Mr. Ajimaminu, at the time of the audit, 82 out of 85 homes in 4 sampled regions were operating without the required licenses, while the licenses of the remaining 3 homes had expired.
For the ranking is not
a general's department or an NGO certificate of recognition. Ironically, 71% of the 31 unlicensed operators were unaware of the need to obtain a license from social welfare, because to them, the NGO certificate of recognition was enough mandate for them to operate the residential homes for the children. According to the Auditor General, a study carried out by the Social Welfare in 2009 showed an increase in orphanages from 55 in 2005 to 148 in 2012, housing about 4,500 children. Kwaji Maimenu is the chairman of the Public Accounts Committee. He spoke about the unavailability of data on the operation of the orphanages.
IOCs are required by the guidelines for the creation of orphanages in Ghana to prepare and submit annual reports to the Department of Social Welfare. Homes are to provide information such as the name of your residential home, location, postal address, aims and objectives, among others. Residential homes in the sample regions fail to adhere to this requirement. As reported by the Auditor General, in 8 of the 10 private home businesses, a total number of 23 children will not be accounted for. So, speaker, according to LI 1705, after a license has been issued to your home, the approved residential home shall be inspected quarterly. The department fails to conduct quarterly inspections of these homes to ensure that they operate within standards.
On adoption, Mr. Kweku Ajimaminu said in a particular year, 150 children were taken out of the country, thus increased to 300 in the preceding year. Thus, the MP noted, represents the high rate of adoption in the country.
We have to look at with grave concern the absence of a clear system of adoption in the country, which has resulted in an increasing rate of adoption. The policy noted, for instance, that a child in the West Mountain District of the Northern Region was given out to a foreigner for adoption by a home manager without the knowledge of the Department of Social Welfare. So, because to prevent human trafficking of children in the name of adoption, the committee urges the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection to ensure that the various interventions put in place by the ministry are implemented as early as possible to protect children in residential homes for children.
All MPs who contributed to the adoption of the report urged the Department of Social Welfare and the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection to do well by implementing regulations and laws governing the operations of orphanages to ensure total well-being of children in such homes.
That was a report filed by parliamentary correspondents Dominic Nogi and Augustus Akui.
The Kriapim Jasehine and Chief of Amanukrum, Nana Osim Kwetia, has cautioned the public against firing of muskets in the Kriapim traditional area in the eastern region during the funeral rites of the late Kriapim Hene Osiagyeyo Nana Adodankwa, which is slated for Monday 1st to 7th of next month. Speaking at a media briefing at Ekropen Kriapim, Nana Osim Kwetia said the act has been limited to only people identified by the Kriapim Traditional Council and granted permits by the police. He said the police have been mandated to seize guns and muskets entering the traditional council within the period. The Kriapim Jasehine stated that the public must be in black or red and remove their footwears while filing past the body. He said ornaments, including wrist and waist chains and earrings, shall be removed as tradition demands. He further disclosed that it is also forbidden to take photographs of the body. And now Osim Kwetia debunked the perception in the public domain that people would be beheaded during the funeral rites, adding that the act is against the laws of the land and the Kriapimang does not believe in such primitive ideology.
The death is reported of the Bantamahene Bafo Owusu Asariaman Kwetia in the early hours of Monday at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital after a short illness. His death was announced by the Asantehene Otumfuo Osei-Itu at the first meeting of the Asantehene Council this year in Kumasi. The Bantamahene is the head of the Kuntu Division of the Ashanti Traditional Council and second in command after the Asantehene. Bafo Amankutia, also known in private life as Ben Kojo Usuasari, was installed in 2002.
On the foreign front, a Brazilian group of lawyers, activists and scientists is to ask the country's Supreme Court to allow abortion for women with the Zika virus. Zika, a form of microcephaly, is linked to brain defects in unborn children. Abortions are illegal in Brazil, except in health emergencies or cases of rape or concerning another brain condition known as anencephaly, which has been in the country since 2012. Experts have warned that 3 to 4 million people could be infected with Zika in the Americas this year.
To end the news, the main point again. An Accra High Court has placed an interim injunction on the CPP Delegates Congress slated for tomorrow. The plaintiff, Onsi Nkrumah, sued the party for not giving him the opportunity to join the CPP flag bearership race. Government is to seek technical support from the International Monetary Fund, IMF, to fine-tune Ghana's taxation system. A Deputy Minister of Finance, Mrs. Munakote, made this known at the opening of the maiden delegates conference of the Ghana Revenue Authority Division of the Public Service Workers Union in Kumasi. 4 suspected armed robbers have been arrested by the Ashanti Regional Police Command in connection with the death of a policeman, General Corporal Alexander Treme, during a highway robbery on the 22nd of this month between Idra Kwanta and Hiawanu villages on the Mampong Idra Highway. And a Brazilian group of lawyers, activists and scientists is to ask the country's Supreme Court to allow abortion for women with the Zika virus. Zika, a form of microcephaly, is linked to brain defects in unborn children. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofu
and Samuel Essa in Accra.